Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Since at least the 1990s, researchers have known that females respond differently to certain disease processes and some of the treatments used to treat them. Countless scientific articles in multiple journals explore these gender differences. Consequently, it didn't surprise me when I read an overview of the different manifestations of stress and different responses to psychotropic drugs that appeared in the latest edition of Scientific American Mind. What shocked me is that in spite of this long-standing awareness, many in the research community continued to do all of their research on only male animals. They give the same reason they used 100 years ago. Female hormones are too messy. They interfere. They mess up the variables. It takes longer. It costs more. No doubt at the time it was done, the use of all male subjects in studies seemed like a good idea. It seemed like the best way to ensure the collection of the most easily reproducible data. And to some extent it was. The problem was it ignored roughly half of the population. After all this foot dragging, National Institutes of Health have mandated that they will no longer fund any studies that do not have equal representation of male and female subjects. That's good news. They're about 50 years late, but at least they're doing it. What about the manufacturers of the drugs to treat these animals? Even without this, what I consider critical piece of information, I have never bought into the use of psychotropic drugs the way some of my colleagues have. I found the studies small, the data weak, and based on assumptions about the way the brain works that we have no concrete and consistent evidence about. If you read the article in Scientific American Mind about the difference of these diseases in males and females, you also notice that females are diagnosed with these emotional problems more than males. This isn't new. This has always been the case. If a woman complains about something, it's because she's hormonal. Used to be women were given Valium. Now they're given Xanax or one of the other newer, more designery drugs, or maybe more than one. If she complains, another drug is added to the list, and then maybe another. This revelation was an eye-opener for me. Relative to the field of behavior, domestic animal behavior studies, and also the treatments of them, many of the studies are small. Sometimes there's equal male and female representation, sometimes there isn't. Now I have to accept that relative to the drugs being recommended, there might not be equal representation in those studies either. And of course, relative to those messy females, we change. Have you noticed that? We go through puberty. We menstruate. We get pregnant. We give birth. We lactate. We go through menopause. Actually, we go through perimenopause, then menopause, and all of the mind-body changes that go with it. The data isn't there. NIH wants to see that it is. But when it comes to all those private commercial funders that increasingly show up in research, I don't know that their motives are going to be quite so pure.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.